This morning, and we're blessed to be in the house one more time, and thank all of you for chiming in on this morning to be with us, all of our the best family, our friends and neighbors. We meet again on another Sunday morning. We hear it's snowing here. It's snowing here in Red Oak, and we know it's snowing in Mahia. And a lot of places in Texas, most of us are experiencing snow. It's a wonderful thing. It's thought to be a cleansing thing for the atmosphere. And certainly after the week we've had, we want cleansing to come as we enter into this new week. So we're going to allow, Cheryl's going to come now and give us a prayer. And we'll move forward in our services. Thank you, all of you guys. We see so many of you chiming in this morning. We so appreciate you coming in for the podcast gathering.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, how we thank you for life, health, strength, ability to move, and God, we recognize this morning it's because of you that we live, move, and have our being. So we pause just to praise you and thank you. Thank you that things are well with us as they are. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. But God, this morning we were just reminded of how good it is to know you. Throughout this week, we pondered just, God, how good it was to know you as Savior and as Lord. And we thank you that you are the God of the universe. You're the God that holds this whole world in the palm of your hands. And we worship you this morning. We thank you. We praise you that it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you on today. We thank you for your sustaining power. Thank you for your strength in our weakness. Thank you that you're our provider. Thank you that you've been our protector. And we praise you for that. But most of all, God, we thank you that you've been our deliverer. You've been the one who, God, turned our dark hearts into light. You've turned our dark ways, our evil ways. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. And so, God, we saw even this week, there's so many, God, that we still have to pray for. There's so many, God, that we still have to stand in the gap for. We call, God, now that the church would be the church in this season. We pray, God, you will stir up your body to be about your business. We pray, God, you will stir up us at work, wherever you order our steps, in the beauty shop, God, in the grocery store. You would stir up, cause your church, God, to raise up and cry out aloud that you are God and you're God all by yourself, that Jesus is Lord and that he wants to be Lord of our lives. I pray, Father God, you would call your church, that you would raise us out of complacency, that you would raise us out of lukewarmness, that you would raise us out of, Father God, being lazy, Father God, and seeing this world for what it is. God, seeing the world in the shape that it's in, that you would cause us to see with your eyes of how it causes you to weep. When hearts of God are not after you, when hearts are not seeking your way, when people, Father God, have gone astray, we pray, God, you would cause the church to rise up in this hour, rise up in this season. God, that you, our hearts will be broken by what your heart is broken by, the sin of this world. Children, God, women, men, boys and girls who don't have no God on their heart, don't have any God in their heart, no God on their minds. I pray, God, that you would stir up your church, God, because your word declares, God, that we would repent, that we would seek your face. God, we would call out unto you that you would heal the land. So we first, God, we come to repent today. We surrender our all to you. We've been mean, God. We've been contrary. We've done things that are not pleasing to you, God. So we lay down at your feet and we bow humbly in your presence. And we, as your church, repent. We stand in proxy for this world, for the believers, oh God. We're standing in proxy for all the church, all the believers today. Father God, would surrender our whole lives to you and say yes to your will and say yes to your way. Your word is still true. Your word is still right. God, we thank you that nothing goes on without you knowing about it. You've seen the injustice. You've seen the pain of this world. You've seen the virus situation. And God, we thank you that you know all about it. And we trust, Father God, our hope is in you. We trust that you are working on our behalf. You are working on the behalf of this world. We thank you, God, as we call out unto you. Your word says, call out unto me and I will answer. So we're calling out unto you on today. God, we're standing in the gap for this world, for this nation, in this pandemic crisis, in the pains of this world. God, we stand before you and we're asking you to intervene. God, we pray you would be God on today. Be God, Father God, as we prepare for a transition in president. Be God, Father God. Be glorified in this situation. We pray for your peace. We pray for unity. We pray for strength. And we pray for the leaders of this country. God, you give them wisdom beyond compare, beyond measure. Give them wisdom, God. Anoint them, Father God. Give them a heart to seek after you. And then, God, we pray for those who are hurting on this week, who have lost loved ones in the pandemic and the crisis. Even this morning, God, we pray for Miss Bonnie, whose husband passed this morning. We just pray for her, God. Pray you would comfort her, that you would hold her, that you would strengthen her. Pray for Rita, Father God, one of our members who's had lost her loved ones. We pray you would continue to hold this family, God. Draw them close together. Draw them close to you, Father. Then, God, we pray for the Graceland Community Church, who lost their pastor. Beverly, who lost her husband, Jimmy, who lost his father. We pray for that church who this morning, Father God, is lost with what to do. We pray, God, you would order their steps, that you would guide them through this time, that you would give them the leader, that you would raise up somebody, Father God, that would lead this church, that would cause healing for this church, Father God. We pray the enemy not come against them, God. We know during these times, God, the enemy can rise up and cause division and cause strife. Oh, God, but I pray you bind the hand of the enemy now in Jesus' name, and that you would keep this church together. Let them bond close together like they've never been before. Then, God, we pray for Bethsaida. We know what's going on even in our area, God, and you have caused us for such a time as this to be light, to be salt of the earth. So we pray, God, that we would seek the peace and the healing of our community. You have called us, Father God, to the city of Mahale, to Limestone, to Freestone County. We pray, Father God, this be our finest hour, that you would use our church, Father God, in ways we never saw you do it before. God, whatever we stand in need of, we pray for anointing. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We pray for the resources, everything we need. We pray for the divine connections that you would give us, that we would be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope in the Limestone and Freestone community. God, because we're there, God, we pray the community would never be the same. Because we are there, we pray you would raise us up to be a church that they would recognize you're our God, and that, Father God, there is no God besides you, and we won't worship. We won't bow to another God. So we thank you that in this hour you would use us, not for our glory, not for our praise, but that you would get the glory and the praise, because it was you who came to see about us. It was you who saved us, and we thank you. We glorify you and we praise you. Bless our children, God, as they're going back to school after the holidays. We pray for those who are virtual, those who are in person. We plead the blood of Jesus over them, that no harm will come nigh them. And we pray for a successful semester. We pray you do a great and mighty work in our lives and through our lives as parents. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you and we glorify you. Amen. Bless your word on today, God. Speak to us through your word. God, our ears are open to hear what you have to say on today, God. The words, Father God, that you give a life. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cheryl, for sharing and praying for us as we prayed together with you. Let's get into the word of God this morning. Our text this morning is found in John chapter 13, St. John chapter 13. It's a familiar passage. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. St. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And give you a second to find that, turn to that if you have a printed Bible, or be able to get there on your devices. We'll give you a couple of moments and then we'll begin to read. As we pray for that, we share today, we'll probably be more conversational. So it may sound more like a talk or a teaching session than a sermon. But we pray that we can get the message of this text over to you. All right. St. John 13, beginning at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, he loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, a devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, or the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, Are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he washed their feet, taking his garment, and when he had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Amen. We ask a blessing to the hearers and to the readers of this portion of God's word, and we know we will truly be blessed as we take these things and make them part of our lives. Thank you so much again for joining in. Listen, today I want to talk about leading with a towel. Leading with a towel. And basically, I want to just talk about what is called servant leadership. Servant leadership. It's not something that should be new to us. I have talked to you about this before, but I want to talk to you about it again. Servant leadership. And that's why I entitled it Leading with a Towel. Listen, I think that I was kind of moved to share this. Number one, because this is the pastoral 37th anniversary, and I've been at Bethsaida 37 years, and I'm so blessed to be at such a great church, and not only myself, but also to have Cheryl and Gabriel with me, and knowing how much they've sacrificed to help me as I've tried to lead people, and I've tried to be that kind of servant leader. I remember, I think it was maybe two or three anniversaries ago where we actually had our picture taken by a statue that's in front of Dallas Seminary, a seminary that I've attended and learned quite a bit from. And there's a statue of Jesus, and he's washing his disciples' feet. And over the years that I've attended Dallas Seminary off and on, that has been one of the places, there's a bench out there, and that has been one of the places where I've sit and meditate and looked at that statue as an ideal for myself. I've always had the ideal of wanting to be a servant leader, and wanted to lead from that particular perspective. So that's why that particular statue is so, I guess, moving to me. And I wanted to take that picture there. Now, that's an ideal, but I realize, because I, the part of myself that I see that many of you don't see, even though that's an ideal, I'm far away from that ideal. And I wanted to just look at these verses of scripture, not just for you, but for me, to reinforce the kind of leader that this world needs. I for those of you that came in late, I had Ray Charles, the Virgin of America, the Beautiful. And my brothers and sisters, we can make we can make America beautiful. And more beautiful than it is. We had some ugly things happen this week. But I'm trying to see if we are the right kind of people. If we all become servant leaders in our various capacities, we'll be able to really bring the beauty out of America again. But it takes the right kind of leadership. We're all leaders. Anybody that has influence over another is a leader. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a teacher, you're a leader. If you are working in some capacity at your job, you're leading like that. We lead in the church in various capacities. Even if you have influences over neighbors and friends and other family members, if you have influence over somebody, you automatically become a leader. But what kind of leader are you is what I want to ask, because I want to challenge you as I challenge me to really become a servant leader, to really lead with a towel. You know, some lead. There's some other ways to lead. And we've seen them on display this week. There's some that lead with what I call lead with a throne. There's a couple of verses of scripture found in Luke 22, I think it's around verse 24, where Jesus is at the Last Supper, his time is approaching the Last Supper, and he comes and found the disciples, and they are in a dispute about who's going to sit on his right and his left, who's going to be on the thrones next to him. And that's kind of talking about, when I say throne leadership, are leading from the throne. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wanting to have a position where others serve you, wanting to have a position that's all about your glory and lifting you up. And sometimes when people are in this position, they value that position so much that they would do anything to hold on to that particular position. So that throne leadership, or when you lead with a throne, can easily become what I call tyrannical leadership. A person that leads with tyranny, a tyrannical leader is one that uses threats and violence and all kinds of negative things in order to hold on to that throne. Intimidation and manipulation, and they'll use everything to hold on to that throne, because amen, they want to be the one that serves, they want to be the one that get the glory, they want to be the one that's seen as great and is doing great things. But that's what I would call throne or tyrannical leadership. That's not the best kind of leadership to make a world or a place beautiful. That's not the kind of leadership that makes America beautiful. If we're going to make America beautiful and have beautiful communities and beautiful churches, not only in America, but worldwide, I think the key thing that we must pursue is we must pursue leading with a towel. That's what this story is about. As Jesus approaches the situation where it's before they had the Last Supper, the way it is in the Mideast at this particular time that Jesus is, we are looking at now, is most of the time when you were out and about, you wore open-toed sandals or open-toed shoes in the Mideast, and you walked the dusty roads and streets. And when you ate, you didn't eat it like in a chair like we would have today, but you kind of ate sitting on the ground and sometime in the incline where your feet would be close to another person. So what would happen before each meal? The lowest servant in the house, or the servant of the house, would wash the feet of the people, the guests that came in. So the meal would be in a more sanitary environment. OK, Okay. And then sometimes when there wasn't a servant, people would wash each other's feet. Now, the thing was that before Christ got there, the disciples were so busy and so focused on the throne and leading from the throne, they were leading from the throne and they missed the opportunity to lead with a towel. Jesus comes in the room. Jesus, the very Son of God, the master of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, comes in and seeing what needed to be done, he went for the towel and girded himself with the towel. And he positioned himself to wash his disciples' feet. He became the servant. Do you understand? The Lord of the universe becomes a servant. That should be so mind-blowing that he would love us, that we serve a God that's willing to go to that extreme to meet our needs. Mankind, in our own selfishness, were worried about our self-interest, but he was worried about the interest, or not worried, but was concerned about the interest of others. That's what I'm talking about this morning. When I talk about that servant leadership or leading with a towel, oh, how our world, our nation, our states, our cities need leaders, and even and most especially our churches need leaders that lead with a towel, because it's the church, amen. And what happened to the church impacts the community, and that impacts the states and the cities and the states and the countries and the world. So if we need to begin a movement in the church, and we've already had that movement, but I'm saying we need to recommit ourselves to servant leadership, to serving with a towel and leading with a towel and being focused on serving others. That's the example that Jesus led. And then he says, just like you saw me do it, and you know I'm Lord and teacher, then I want you to serve each other like that. Oh, that's the kind of path I've always wanted to be. I've not reached it yet. I'm kind of like, I haven't arrived yet. I got a long ways to go. And so pray, amen. But I'm glad that our church has grown even in spite of me not being all that I should have been. It's because of your commitment and your willingness to pray and give yourself to God and work hard and serve our community. I'm so grateful for that you would do that. It's the collaboration that has made our church what it is. And I'm saying we haven't even begun to do things and to reach the potential that God has in our future. And the key to reaching that potential, my brothers and sisters, is taking up the towel to serve our community and one another, having that sense of service leadership. Listen, in leading, first let me just say this. For myself, as I lead, my first responsibility as a leader is to serve my partner in marriage and partner in ministry, Cheryl. That's my first responsibility, is to serve her. My second responsibility is to serve, amen, as a parent to Gabriella. That's my second responsibility as a leader. And my third responsibility would be as a pastor to serve the church and the community that God has placed me in. The reason why I need you to pray for me, because a lot of times I get those things out of order. I get those things out of order. So that's why I say, but they shouldn't be out of order. That's what I'm saying. I realize how far I am from the person that God wants me to be as a servant leader. So, and some of you, if you be honest and look at your own lives honestly, you would find areas that you need to work on too. Now, listen, when Jesus talks about we have to be different leaders than the world leaders. He said the world leaders, they lord over the one that they lead. And they try to control and just lord over and have basically having the people to serve them and just have that minute that, hey, that I'm the boss and y'all follow me. So for that, that's the way the world leads. But now, let me tell you, when we exercise leading with a towel, it's not lording over people. But listen to what it is. Number one, I'm just trying to give you some practical things here. First, if we're going to lead with a towel, the first thing we must do is listen. Now, that's hard to do because we always want to talk. We always want to be the talker and not the listener. But I'm saying in order to serve with a towel, one must first listen. Listen, because you got to listen in order to understand the one that you're serving. Listen gives people, when you listen to someone actively and you really focus on that listening, it gives people value. Because some people who have never had anybody really listening to what they're saying, you feel undervalued. You don't feel valued when people don't listen to you. So there are communities, and a lot of our communities that are in the shape they're in, and they feel undervalued and they feel underserved because they can't get leaders, they can't get police departments, they can't get mayors and government to listen to them, they can't get the streets they need and the services they need because nobody is listening. If we are to be one that lead with a towel, we must first listen to those we serve. We got to do that intentionally. See, serving with a towel, you have to do with intentionality. You have to make a point to do it. We have to make a point to listen to those whom we serve. Secondly, as you listen. As you listen, secondly, we have to learn. You listen, and as you're listening, you're learning about the one or the ones that you're serving. You're learning about their background. You're learning about their life. You're learning about their wounds and their struggles and what they're going through. And as you listen and learn, number one, as you learn about a person, it brings you, not only does it give value to them because you're willing to listen and to learn, but it gives you insight into how to serve. Because a lot of times we just want to serve the way we want to serve, but that may not be the service that they need. That's why we must listen and learn about them. We just don't want to just, okay, I'm passing out food, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, without having that listening and learning relationship, where we are not just about the act of serving, but we are really getting into the people that we want to serve. We have to listen to our community. We have to listen to those that we serve. We have to listen to people that are different. We may not believe the same thing that they believe. We may even, because we have understanding of scripture, there are some things that they may be doing in their lives and their lifestyle that we may not agree, but we cannot allow that to stop us from listening and learning, because when you learn about them, learning creates a caring. Learning creates a caring for people. So listen, and another thing I want to say about listening is try a good thing about being a good listener is because people can help you who have more experience in an area than you. And I don't care how many degrees you have, how much knowledge you have about things, it's still good to listen to those around you. Everybody needs some godly counselors and some godly people around you that can advise you. That's because that becomes like a firewall between being a servant leader, one that leads with a tile, and one that leads with a throne as a tyrannical leader, because they'll call you. You need people that can call you in when you're becoming too self-centered and you're promoting self more than promoting the good of others and adding value to others' lives. Let's intentionally focus on listening and learning. Now, but that's not all. After you listen and after you learn, listening, learning, and lastly, loving. Because we love people. We love people that are, even we may disagree. We may disagree with their politics. We may disagree with their lifestyle. We may disagree with a lot of things about them, but that should not keep us from loving them, because Christ has called us to love unconditionally, to show love, to show his love for everybody. He loved us while we were yet sinners. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And the world needs to see that example in our life of his love. So if we are going to lead with a tile, my brothers and sisters, it starts with listening and then learning and then loving. As all those things take intentionality. When you're coming to church, or you're going to work, are you going to the community, you got to say, okay, I need to especially be on the lookout. God help me to be on the lookout, have a radar up for those that need love today, for those that need encouragement today. And then for me, God, provide a situation where I have time to listen, learn, and show in some way my love. Sometimes you may not have all that. Maybe sometimes you may just be passing to a line at the store. But at least you can say an encouraging word and lift that person up. So ask God to help you to know who you can serve each day of your life. And take your tile with you. Because that tile is the tile of listening and learning and loving. The other disciple did not see the need, because they were so busy talking to each other and having a dispute with each other, they didn't listen to each other. But Jesus came in the room, and knowing them, he was able to listen to what was going on, and then he knew what needed to be done, and he acted lovingly by washing his disciples' feet. Now he says, do this to one another. That's what we need to do. Do that to one another. That should be our design, my brothers and sisters. That's the kind of God that we serve. I'm encouraging you to do that. I'm just trying to give you some things to look at. Now, Peter, as Peter always did, when Jesus came down with Jesus to wash his feet, he said, no, Matthew, you never wash my feet. Because Peter always, you know, he always kind of objected for the first, and then Jesus had to get him straightened out, because he always thought he knew more than Jesus. Peter always thought he knew more than Jesus. Jesus said, you're going to betray me. Oh, no, Master, I'm not going to deny you. I mean, I'm not going to deny you. Oh, yeah, Jesus, you're going to do it. But Peter always thought he knew more than Jesus. Isn't that like us? In our leadership, we always think that we know more than Jesus knows, and we don't. We don't know more than Jesus knows. So they said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Now, basically what this was, And then Peter goes on and say, Lord, just wash me. Wash my head and wash my hand. Then Jesus said, no, Peter, you don't understand. You've already, all of you have already been cleaned. When he said that, it's a different word. This is a different word. That means like that word that had to do with taking a bath. That's the word that they use in, it says taking a bath. You've already had the bath. Basically what he was saying to Peter, you've already been saved. You don't need to be saved again, but you need to be cleaned in your daily walk. Amen. You've already been saved. You don't have to be saved all over. You've already been, all of you been saved here except one. I got one that ain't saved here. He's going to be the one that's going to betray me. He's not saved yet. But all the rest of you are saved. So all you need to do is daily. All you need is a daily washing. And that's, I think that's what it's talking about in 1 John when he says, if you confess your faults, I mean, confess your sins, he's faithful, amen, to cleanse you from those sins. We all need that on a daily basis. But we don't need to be saved again. Amen. Once he saved us, we are saved for good. So he said, Peter, if you don't wash your feet, that's what he meant. Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have fellowship with me. You don't have, you can't enjoy my presence and in my fellowship throughout your day until you confess that, so you can bring yourself back into a closer, deeper fellowship. That's what he was telling Peter. But Peter was always, like I said, he always thought he knew more than Christ. Listen, I'm going to give you a couple more things here that I want you to think about as we together, Bethsaida family, as we together try this servant leadership or to serve our community, our cities, our state and country and world with this leading with a towel or servant leadership. Number one, choose to believe in people and their potential. One thing I love about Jesus, let me say it like that's probably the most best way to say it, is that he didn't see people just for what they were when he met them. But he always saw potential in them and was willing to invest in that potential. And a lot of times, so don't write people off just because the way they are when you first meet them, but realize they're made in the image of God. And God may have a plan for their life that they have not yet discovered. And if they discover Christ and his plan, they have tremendous potential. Yeah. Try to see things from the perspective of others. Try to understand first rather than to be understood. Try to see things from others' perspective, because sometimes it'll help you to serve them if you can see things from their perspective. Now, this next one is important. This next one is really important, especially in a church setting, in a business setting, in a home setting. Work to create an environment of encouragement. Work to create an environment of encouragement. People love to enter an environment where there's encouragement. People love to go places where they're going to be encouraged. So my challenge to you is just wherever God presents us the opportunity to change an environment, let's create an environment of encouragement. Don't be a thermometer, be a thermostat. Thermometer just tell you, hey, this is a bad environment. That's all. They don't change the environment. It just says, it tells you if it's hot or cold. And you take it for yourself. And a lot of times we'll let that environment change up. But now it's saying, you be a thermometer. Amen. You change that environment. If it's a discouraging environment, you change it and make it in an environment of encouragement. You have that power as a believer. Lastly, and just these just things that I'm sharing with you is how we measure success as a leader. You don't measure, I think biblically, let me say like, biblically, we don't measure success by, let me just speak as a church. We should measure our success as a church by our facilities. We should measure our success as a church by how much money we have in the bank. We thank God, we praise God for that, because we can do ministry with it. But that's not, we don't measure our success by how many members we got or how many people attend. We don't measure our success by any of those things. We shouldn't. Those are not things that says that we are successful. But the way we measure our success, my brothers and sisters, is by how we add value to the life of others. Have, as a follower of Christ, have I added lot value to another life? How have I encouraged somebody? Have I made somebody feel loved? Have through my ministry or through the way that God uses me, somebody been able to grow or been able to find solutions for their situations through something that God allowed me to share with them. So adding value, does a person, by knowing and interacting with you, feel valued more when they leave your presence than they did when they came? That should be one of the things that we work on doing. That anytime somebody interacts you or comments in your presence, they ought to feel more valued, more loved than they were when they came into your presence. Keep those things, and I'm gonna keep those things in mind. I'm trying to make sure as I look through my that I covered everything that I wanted to cover with you today. Ask yourself this: when you're trying to see, I don't really like to call it success. I think being faithful, it may be a better way of putting it. Have I been faithful to Christ in adding value to people's life? This is how you can know. Do the people you serve grow as persons? Do they grow healthier, wiser, freer? And are they more likely themselves to become servant leaders? That's the way we can measure that we are being faithful to Christ in making an impact in the world. Have those that I'm serving become healthier? Have they become wiser? Have they become freer? And are they more likely, because of the interactions and the discipling of the council, have they become more likely to become servant leaders themselves? That's why I'm challenged. Because my privilege as your pastor is not just to preach and do the things that I need, but and to serve you, but it is to make a difference by adding value to the life of others. And then, just as Jesus said, now that you see me wash your feet, I need y'all to wash one another's feet. We can be the beginning. I'm talking about that's how we can make our church, community, city, state, country, world more beautiful from exercising servant leadership. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Add value to it. And I said, you have to be intentional. My brothers and sisters, it cannot. We must be more concerned about the needs of others than our own personal glory. What we went and saw on our televisions and our news was because one individual and a lot of those that follow him that had his same attitude towards others held their personal glory from the well-being and the welfare of others in our country. We want to make this world a better place. That's why we got to pray for one another. Intentionality. I I'm gonna keep repeating that throughout this year. Intentional servant leadership, intentionally adding value to the lives of others, intentionally helping others to be healthier, wiser, freer, and more likely to be servant leaders themselves. That's really discipleship, but just different words. That's what we've been talking about all the time. That's what we must be focused on. I know it's not my job to do it all, but the scripture tells me in Ephesians, I'm equipped. I do my part, but I also, as pastor, I'm so glad just to be able to equip others to be servant leaders and to make a difference. And I'm just hoping the Lord will allow me to just stay around a little longer. With all these things that's going on, the pandemic's going, stay around long enough to be a better servant leader. In my home and church and community, wherever he would have me be. And I'm so glad to have the privilege of doing that with the great people of the best. Because we have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity to make our area of the world a better place. Thanks. Now let me close. Jesus washing the disciples' feet in that story, if you really look at it closely, it's a kind of a summary of Christ's whole life. As he stooped down and girded himself with a towel, and probably had to take out, I guess, part of his garment that he had on, and to gird himself with a towel and wash feet. And he stooped down. You know, that's a summary of his whole life. Because I remember he came down from heaven to serve, just like he came, the Son of God, kneeled down to wash his disciples' feet. He came down to heaven to serve us. It's kind of a microcosm of his whole life. And then he washes us. He washed their feet. Oh, that reminds me that we've been washed by the blood of Christ. He said, you done been bathed in the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, my goodness. Because he came all the way from heaven down and died on Calvary's cross. As he washed the disciples. Now, I want to put one more thing. He washed his disciples' feet. Now, be careful. I want to go to this point. I hate to stop the story, but I want to put this point in. When you're washing feet, don't use water that's too hot, because you don't want to scald the people's feet. Sometimes we can use water that's too hot. Then sometimes we can use water and we can use ice cold water. You got to have tenderness to make sure, amen, that you use water the right temperature to wash those feet. And that's why you got to listen and learn, because then you know how to wash their feet, because you know about them. You know what they've been through. You know the things, the areas of their tenderness that you have to kind of work with a little bit more gently. Because of the wounds they got and the more patience you got to have. So that's why we listen and learn before we can lovingly wash their feet and serve them. But that's where we're going. And intentionally. Well, Jesus came down and he washed up. He washed in his blood. And after he washed his feet, and then I'm glad it didn't stop there. After he washed their feet, it said he took the towel and dried the feet. Oh, because Jesus never stopped until he's finished. And when he died on Calvary, he wasn't finished yet. Because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth. And we serve a resurrected Christ. And he's ascended back to heaven, but he's still on earth through us, through our hands, through our eyes, our hearts, our feet. We are, our bodies become the body of Christ. And as a church, we make a more beautiful world for him. Would you follow me in accepting the challenge of this upcoming year and years beyond of becoming a servant leader? We won't turn back. We won't turn around. Because I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he brought us this far to leave us now. I'm glad we got a God that's with us to the end. I like what that last part of verse 1 said. He loved them to the end. That was just his earthly journey, but he's going to keep loving us until he come back again. What a wonderful God we serve. What an amazing God we serve. So as we journey, we're on this journey, an intentional journey to become the kind of servant leaders to serve with a towel and to change our world. I want to tell you, we cannot do this in our own strength. This task is far too important and it takes far more than we have in our own selves. We can only do this by Christ using us and working through us. And that's why we must pray. Pray for one another. Pray for our country. Pray for those we're ministering to. We must be people of prayer. Must be people of prayer. Because God is going to do some amazing things if we would just pray. In just a moment, Gabby's going to bring a song on, our closing song. As she's coming, I want you to meditate on that. Lord, how can I this year be a better servant leader? How can I lead with a towel? How can I be more intentional about adding value to the lives of others? God, you said just as you wash feet, we need to do it. But we can't do it without your help. Can't do it without you. So help us to lead with a towel. We'll be tempted to lead with a throne. And if we stay there too long, we'll be tempted to lead with tyranny. But keep us humble and help us to love you enough that we'll always lead with a towel. My brothers and sisters, that's what we must do. That must be our prayer. A song is coming now.
Before the king, 'cause we believe. horizon. I see hope on the horizon as a generation stepping out in faith. Because we will be a people on our knees as one before the King. Because we believe.
Thank you so much. Now, a couple of more. Thank you for listening and enjoyed the podcast gathering today. Listen, we have a message that the Bible study, I think that's the one that's Julie leads or Calvin, Carlos, I think they all work together in that thing. But the Bible study, I think that's on, that comes through the phone. For those of you who have that, that phone connection, ladies, to have the, this is the women's Bible study. Not women, I think it's for everybody. That's on Thursday night. That's going to begin, and it's from 6 to 7 p.m. The Bible study is starting again from 6 to 7 p.m. every Thursday night. So let's be prayerful for that, and that be a way that we can lovingly serve those that would like to know more about the scriptures and scriptures teaching on a weekly basis. Okay, and Cheryl says she'll send out the conference call number for that. Also, they're having a, the woman's Bible study is going to begin Saturday. This is the one for the woman's on. I think the other one's open to everybody, but this is the woman's Bible study. It will begin again Saturday at 6:30 p.m. via Zoom, and that's on January the 17th. So let's also be praying for that. That's a couple of Bible studies that we are bringing back online so because we can so we can get in the Word of God and have God speak to us so that we can be better servant leaders to others. Again, I really want to thank you and I really appreciate all of our all of the best members and friends and neighbors, especially those of you who have played such vital roles in our ministry and part of our congregation, for how blessed I've been just being your leader for the last 37 years. And I thank God for about 19 years ago, Cheryl coming on board and to help as my wife first, and then the tremendous thing that she do that she does in the body of our church and all the sacrifices and effort that she puts forth. we wouldn't be where we are now without her help. And now Gabrielle is beginning to take more and greater and greater a role in the ministry also. And all of you, first generation team, our deacons ministry, our choir, and Sister Maxine, who gives leadership to our choir, Sister Julie, who teaches our Sunday school and our Bible studies, our count up crew and our kitchen crew, and Amber and Judy, especially served us greatly this year during the pandemic of being on the first line working and exposing themselves to the pandemic. So our associate ministers, Brother Ernest and Sister Vivian, amen. So I think I've covered everybody. Deacon's minister, and I think I've covered everybody. So we so appreciate you, Brother Deacon's, Brother Favors, Brother Robinson, and Carter. All right, so we thank y'all. And there's so many of you names that were mentioned, our mothers. I mean, there's so many of you that do so. And all those generous people, amen, who help us to give us the financial support to do ministry. Tithers, and those of you that may not be tithers at this point, but you still give what you can, we solely appreciate you, amen. Allow us to still survive and even thrive as a church, even during this time. So we pray for and just continue to pray for one another, because I think God wants to do some tremendous things with us through this year. So we appreciate everything that you're doing. So many of you. All right. And so thanks. Thanks for everything that you are doing. I'm just trying to make sure I didn't leave any one out. Got the choir members. Okay, I think I've got everybody. Ushers. Amen. All right. Thank you. Little Data, Big Data. I think they be ushers most of the time. So whatever part you play, you're important role. Custodians, thank you for keeping it clean. All right. All right. If anybody left out, it's because of my memory. And not because you're not a vital and important role. Yard people. Amen. Especially Brother Favor the yard for cutting the yard for us. And then other brothers that also help him out. And when he's unable to make, they do the job too. So thanks, guys. And just make it our point this year. We are going to be intentional servant leaders, trying to add value to the lives of others in our church and in our community and wherever we can, on our jobs, in our schools, everywhere. And all of our youth, you're important too. Amen. Our youth and our children and their parents. Amen. So thank y'all all for everything. We're about to sign off and just have a great day. Remember, we can change the world if you would pray and then intentionally be a servant leader. Have a great day and enjoy the Lord in the other thing that he's provided for us during this day. Amen.